This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
That sounded pretty good. We're upgrading here.
That's probably the best rejoin we have.
Where are my glasses? You know what happened this morning?
Are they on top of your head?
This morning they were on my head, on my face, and I was looking for my glasses.
So they were on your face, like in the position that they usually are,
yes,
where glasses go.
And I went upstairs. I told my wife, I said, it happened again. She said, what? I said, I was looking for my glasses with my glasses on. How many Ron Cook moments am I going to have this year? When did Ron leave? In February? It's the Pomp and Joe show, minus Pomp, which it is about half the time. It's an interesting format, isn't it, Limits?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. We have Bob probably half the time, 60% of the time. But, I mean, when you can add the president of Pittsburgh sports media.
Exactly.
The man of the hour, the Frank Sinatra of our business.
I think it's the greatest idea ever to have the Pomp and Joe show with Pomp here sort of at unpredictable, unguessable times. Although, hopefully, definitely Mondays, right?
It's like a fireside chat, Joe. What is Bob going to say today? Will Bob be there today?
You never know.
You don't know.
And he might only be there half the time. That's the beauty of it. And I actually love it that way. This Arthur Smith column is taking off here. The Arthur Smith honeymoon is over. Now it gets real. What kind of texting feedback did you get on our Artie Smith talk, Limits?
Some people saying what you said earlier about what somebody tweeted in. Does Arthur Smith really care about the money? Do you know who his dad is running FedEx?
Oh, we're talking about him to North Carolina. Okay.
Yeah.
That possibility, or at least somebody has, Andy Staples put that in his column. Yeah, I mean, once again, to that silliness, just look at professional and college sports. You think having money prevents you from wanting money? You must not know people with a lot of money then, is what I would say. Cole Suba is here. Do you like that, Denise's son?
Hello, Cole.
How are you, sir? Go ahead and press that little blue button. You got it? You're on the air, Cole.
I'm on the air right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's up, guys?
Not much. We're just doing a radio show, perhaps a poor one without Pomp, and we're both mildly depressed. Right,
I'm
Limits?
Not depressed.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I am.
You're a pitcher at Penn State Altoona?
Yes, sir.
A left-handed pitcher?
Yep.
80 miles an hour. How fast does your fastball go?
Up to 86, you know. I'm working on it.
I mentioned to you, you should be like the guy in, what's the movie? What's the movie where the guy hurts his arm and then he pitches on the side of the road and there's the thing that measures him at 100 miles an hour?
The Rookie?
Henley Rowengardner,
yeah. Yeah, The Rookie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, you should. He came back from an injured arm. I was going to say you should injure your
just
arm.
Just injure my arm. Yeah. Maybe that'll happen to me.
Yeah, intentionally. And he throws 10 miles an hour faster.
What else do you throw?
Curveball, changeup, slider.
All command? You command all three?
Yeah.
How about a knuckleball? Why doesn't anybody throw a knuckleball
That's
anymore?
That's like the hardest pitch to throw in baseball, I don't think.
Why? Why is it so hard?
I don't know. It's just the movement, you know? Trying to get the ball to stop perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about a knuckle curve?
You know, some of my friends have thrown a knuckle curve, but I don't know. I just never worked on it or tried to do it.
Limits, do you think you could hit off him in wiffle ball?
If it's wiffle ball, potentially, maybe not baseball.
Gotta try. This guy takes wiffle ball more seriously than major leaguers take the major leagues.
Well, wiffle ball is awesome.
He plays in it. He plays in a league in Baldwin.
I run it. They created
it. He runs awesome. The league in Baldwin. They travel around to different states and play in wiffle ball stadiums that are modeled after major league stadiums. Wow. So he's played at Yankee Stadium of wiffle ball
and Fenway Park of wiffle ball and Wrigley Field of wiffle ball.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Isn't it?
Wiffle ball. Yeah.
I'm one of the greatest wiffle ball players who ever lived.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I would be able to strike you out?
No.
Okay.
I corked my bat, first of all, in wiffle ball with styrofoam. I chopped off the end of it and then glued styrofoam. So it was like swinging cement, except it was still light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would crush the wiffle ball. And then one of the biggest problems in wiffle ball is that there's arguments over the strike zone. So in Buffalo, we put a picnic bench with a hockey net behind it. Can you picture that?
Yeah.
Push the picnic bench right up to the hockey net. And then you have no controversy. If the ball hits any of the goalposts or goes into the net above the bench, it's a strike.
It's a strike.
Otherwise, it's a ball. Mm-hmm. We eliminated that.
Yeah.
Did you have your own wiffle ball stadium at your house?
No, but my one friend named Evan, we'd always go to his house and he'd put up like a fence.
Yeah.
And his house would be in right field.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And if you hit it up there, then it was automatically a home run. He had a backstop and everything. He had dirt.
I love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
I love hitting off the houses. We had a triples tree, Limits. This gigantic oak tree. So you could have the smash of your life. And if the guy turned around and played it off the tree, like it wouldn't go over the fence because it hit the tree. It would be like the green monster at Fenway. You could turn around and catch it off the tree. In fact, you could catch it off anything. Sometimes we accidentally hit it off my mom if she was on the porch. Everything's eligible to catch the ball.
The tree's in play.
The tree is in play.
Wow. So now, it could just be bouncing around leaf after leaf. A squirrel could interfere with the ball. And then if you catch it, it's an out.
Exactly. And if it drops, it's a triple. Hence the name Triples Tree. Why do I sound so loud in my headphones, Limits? What is happening?
You don't sound very loud to me.
I don't?
No. You sound like you're talking regularly.
Well, Cole, good luck with your baseball career.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you coming on.
Go on, Cole.
Enjoy the show here.
Do you try to throw a Paul Skeens splinker at all?
Oh, no.
That's a great question.
Only he can do that, I think.
What do you think of him as a college, as a college pitcher, what do you make of that guy?
I definitely look up to him. I mean, he's like the best in the MLB, so. And he's on the Pirates. I don't know how good that is because the Pirates, you know, aren't the greatest team.
Yeah, we've seen.
Yeah, I look up to him. He's a great pitcher.
Limits, you think he'll be here his whole career? Skeens, not Cole.
No.
Yeah, I think.
Of course not.
The betting odds would be widely in favor of no.
But the idea then would be to build around him. We're almost getting to the winter stove season here, the hot stove season.
Did you see the Dodgers made a move yesterday?
The Dodgers always make moves.
Blake Snell, 5 years for $182 million.
Five for 182.
Just acting like there shouldn't be a salary cap or anything.
Did you see what he did in the second half of the year? He practically didn't give up a run.
It was great for San Francisco. He was bad in the first half, but that's because he signed in the middle of March.
He was horrifying. Anyway, thank you, Cole. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cole.
What a nice man he is. Huh? I wouldn't expect anything less as Denise's son, would you?
That's right. Really good family.
What were we talking? Oh, Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
Give me some Tomlin clips from yesterday as we get ready for this monumental game in Cincinnati. Cole, he can stay. I didn't mean for him to leave the building. He walked out. He's going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
People didn't need to know that, did they?
No.
Go ahead with some Tomlin clips.
All right, Joe, we have a lot of different areas that we can cover, but let's start with one thing that Tomlin really emphasized, working in the red zone and trying to get it shored up.
A couple of areas of play that we feel like we need to shore up, particularly red zone offense and some red zone defense. As a matter of fact, we treated the last several days like a mini bye from a staff perspective and took a deep dive on some schematics in those areas and then turned our attention towards Cincinnati and what they do in those areas. We've looked at the last collection of games, and we feel like there's more meat on that bone offensively and defensively. And so with the extra couple of days, we thought it was appropriate to focus on ourselves and that space and focus on the application of that research today in terms of delivering that to the players and working those spaces a little bit.
Man, they need the work, I'll tell you that much. They're third from the bottom in red zone offense. It's worse than Matt Canada's red zone offense. What are we doing here? They lead the league in field goals. I think they have 31 field goals. Turn, you know, 8 of those into touchdowns, and then you're talking about a prolific offense here. But when you stink in the red zone, you're not even a top 10 scoring offense. That's the problem right now. One thing I would suggest is a little less of Cordarrelle Patterson. This Smitty obsession with Cordarrelle is getting to be a bit much. He gets a reverse in the red zone and a fade? What are we doing here?
That's the play that frustrated me the most. And as soon as that happened and they didn't get it, that was the play when I realized this two-point play is going to come back to cost them one way or another. Because it probably approaches the Browns' situation on what would have been 3rd and 7, 4th and 2, and that whole call completely differently.
Do you want to see more of Connor Hayward or less? I'm getting a lot of feedback on the text line here, or on the in tweets about Connor Hayward, and also comments on my Post-Gazette story. His numbers, he had 23 catches last year. He's only got 4 catches for 29 yards. He acts kind of as a de facto blocking back at times. He's an H-back, I guess is what you'd say, but he only has 1 first down. I kind of had him pegged from his early days here as a guy who can make some big clutch plays for you. Not a prolific player, but somebody that can make winning plays for you, and he's almost been not involved at all.
That's a great question because, especially over the last 2 weeks, I've thought more and more that Connor Hayward should just not be on the field. Like, they give so many snaps to Mykal Pruitt, sometimes up to 40% of the snaps, and Hayward's either...
It's not Mykal Pruitt, it's your Cole Pruitt, and he's on the,
Everyone calls Pruitt. Everyone gets to see him on the field.
He's on the field too much, too, I think.
I don't want Connor Hayward on the field.
The running game stinks. If the idea is to get all these guys in there to help your run game, have Connor Hayward as your blocking back and your Cole Pruitt as you know, another tackle, tight end type guy, and Mount Washington and 18 other guys, then why are you having 9 plays against the Browns go for 0 or negative yards? Game stinks. It tells me they're becoming predictable.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Connor Hayward, when they tried to throw it to him on the rare occasions that they have this year, has not been able to make plays. He's dropped a couple of balls, and he seems like he's just getting blown by in the running game. Maybe not that extreme, but
I'd like to see him catch the ball. I think he's capable of more and not less, but I think that's a really good question.
But he's not produced. He's been a disappointment this year.
Because they're not looking toward him or because he's failing? I don't know.
Well,
I think I'd like to see a little more of him creatively used, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for.
I'd want to know his total targets, but the opportunities that he's been given, despite it being limited, he has not come through in those chances. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a lack of trust with Arthur Smith and Connor Hayward, given that he had Mykal Pruitt in his last stop. He knows what Pruitt can do, even though he's not that good of a tight end.
My Arthur Smith honeymoon is over column has risen to 2nd trending on the Post-Gazette stories, only behind, here's the headline, a former L.A. party girl finds a home, a business, and a purpose in Sewickley.
Oh, how about that?
That sounds like a tearjerker, does it not?
Congratulations on all her success. What do you think?
Very well put.
Do you think she's gotten into?
I don't know. I don't know the story. I don't know how this wound up. Connor Suba is back.
Cole.
Yeah. We were just talking about Connor Hayward. Sorry, Cole. This is unbelievable, is it not, horse?
Yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning
way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Without further ado, let's bring on veteran Steelers apologist Mark Cabali. How are you, sir?
What's up, Joe? I heard you really going on a little rant this morning.
What was I saying?
I don't know how bad Arthur Smith was or something like that, but he seems like a nice young man or something like that.
Yeah, he is a nice man. I give him a B- or so on the season.
But he definitely has that machismo.
Stop it. Let's get to fresh Mark Cabali. No more clips of Cabali. Listen, big boy, I want to get definitive word, and I think this is important, at least your definitive opinion on everything you know on some key plays from that Browns game before we move on. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, let's start with the Hail Mary at the end. Let's hear, I'm going to play for you the Ben clip. And what I really want to know from you after this is George Pickens to be absolved for this? Was he getting railroaded out of the end zone? Or was this his fault? And did he basically, you know, abdicate his responsibility on a play? Let's hear from Ben.
GP is fighting somebody out of bounds before the ball even gets touched. How is that possible? None of our guys are going up for that ball.
The only thing I can think of is that either they didn't see it or Russ threw it like maybe a little earlier than they expected.
Sure.
But again, yeah, George is fighting with a guy before the ball is even in the air. And I'm like, is he trying to draw a penalty? I'm confused by that as well. Like, yeah. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not saying that he's giving up on a play, but if you're not making a play on the ball, you're not, sure. Like, what are you doing? That kind of made me bonkers too. Like, we didn't have anybody there to make a play, and that's your guy. If you want one guy to be down there, yes, it's him or Mount Washington.
So that's Ben from his football and podcast. How much responsibility does Pickens have on that play? How much should we be blaming him for what happened?
Yeah, I think Tomlin said yesterday there was nobody there to high point the ball, which means the guy actually going after the ball first. I don't know if I was broke it down in depth enough to tell if that ball was out of bounds, if he didn't give it any effort or anything to that for. But the bottom line is there is nobody within, you know, 5 yards of potentially making that play. Nobody else was even going for it with 10, at least me.
Well,
to
wait
believe
a second. Okay, go ahead.
That was George's responsibility to go get it. Then the deflection would have then came to one of the other guys. Now, I don't know if he didn't see it. I don't know if the ball was thrown out of bounds. I don't know if he was railroaded out. I don't know, but it is George's responsibility to go down there and try to make the play. I just don't know what led to him not making that play, but it was definitely his responsibility.
Or even attempting to make that play. To me, it comes down to this, and I've seen all the footage, and I'm still a little bit perplexed here. Did Newsom ride him out of the end zone and then George just retaliated at the end by grabbing the guy's helmet? Or was it George's fault? In other words, if he was distracted by this guy and was more interested in getting back at him or doing whatever, he was more interested in that little tussle than he was in the potential game-winning pass in the air, then as Pony said the other day, he's more guilty than Tyreek Stevenson. Is that the guy's name? From the Bears, who was taunting fans after the ball was snapped on a Hail Mary, but at least he got back in the play. George never did. So what does the footage tell you?
It looks like to me that he did get rode out of the end zone a little bit more than he was worried about. My goodness, it's a train coming by, Joe.
That's okay.
Him trying to start a fight. I think after he realized the ball was not going to be caught or was going to go out of bounds, that's when he was going to take his liberties with Newsom. I think we saw that after the Dallas game when he ripped the guy's helmet off or ripped his face mask. And even all in throughout that game, you saw different clips of George more worried about mixing it up with Newsom, trying to draw penalties from him, trying to trip him on purpose, coming off the sidelines, than just making the play. I think George has done a pretty good job of maturing compared to last year, but I think it's quite obvious he still has a way to go, because you can't – I mean, you got a game on the line here, Joe. You got to be worried about making plays to win. You can't be worrying about tripping people or, you know, dropping elbows on people like he did earlier in the season as well. So
you have to do everything you can. Yeah. Clearly, he was the jump ball guy. The other guys, everybody blamed them because they just stood there. That was their job. He was the jump ball guy. I'm convinced of that. Let's go to another point.
Why not? I mean, he's 6 foot whatever.
Right, and of course.
Yes.
But he's more worried about fighting this guy. He should have done everything he could to, I don't care, toss that guy aside and do his job. It was just
Joe, I've been told by a number of people that he is the biggest trash talker on the team and probably on the field on every single down. So I'm sure opponents use that to get into his head. And it looked like Newsom was into his head at times on Thursday.
All right, let's get to the Russell Wilson is blazing hot, really, for the whole game. What do you have, 75% completion percentage? Just drilled a ball down the seam for a touchdown in a snowstorm. So what do they do with the game on the line at 3rd and 4? Justin Fields heaves a jump ball down the field, and at least this time Pickens wasn't in a fight. At least he was on the field. But let's hear what Tomlin said about this.
We felt good about it, to be quite honest with you. It was a weighty moment. It was third medium. They had 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. We had GP matched up on a corner not named Denzel Ward. That feels like more than a 50-50 ball to me, and so we were comfortable with that decision.
Even though Justin hadn't thrown a pass in a game in a month?
Even though. Certainly.
How about the Gravesdigger? How about him coming off the top rope there? Huh? This was an act of insanity. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It makes sense that
it doesn't.
Wait, let me get to it now. It makes sense that they were trying to set up a play and they had the matchup they want, or you have to question of what quarterback's in the game at that point, right? I mean, if Russell's in the game at that point and makes that same exact throw on 3rd and 4, nobody has a problem with it. It's because Fields was in the game, which you have to then question it. But those are plays they try to set up throughout the game, and they know on different 3rd and mediums and whatever it is that play is going to present themselves with the defensive scheme. So they're anticipating that happen. If they're anticipating that to happen, then you have to question why Russell Wilson's not in the game at that point. So I think it was the right call. I think it was just the wrong quarterback.
Yes.
It
was one of the most ridiculous decisions of Tomlin's recent career. Like, it's mind-boggling. They're in a snowstorm. The other guy's red hot. I thought they brought in Russell Wilson to try and win a champion. Can you imagine if you had Ben in his prime or Russell Wilson in his prime pulling them off the field in that situation? I get the Taysom Hill stuff, the 4th and short, whatever. But in that situation, you would never do it. Is this indicative of Tomlin maybe not fully trusting Russ?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think they just thought that Fields would present a dual threat there where they don't know if he's going to run or where they're going to throw the ball. I think what they do need to do is streamline the Justin Fields stuff a little bit. I mean, I know it's hard to do, and you got to do, down and distance, time of the game, or whatsoever, but don't tell me that you can't come up with a package or a play or a set of situations where Justin Fields needs to be in the game, and it wouldn't be 3rd and 4 in a snowstorm late in the game. So I think over their self-evaluation over the past week, I think if anything should have been the top of that list, of course, red zone and short yardage is there, it should be how do we get Justin Fields into a position where he knows he's going to be on the field during X play, X formation, whatever, rather than just say, hey, bud, go in there. I don't even know if it's Tomlin's choice. It might just be, I don't know who makes that call of saying, get Justin Fields out there. I would assume that that's not Tomlin at that point.
Funny you should ask, big boy. Funny you should ask. We have Tomlin on whose choice and who makes that call.
Yeah, he's lying.
I know. Well, let's just hear it and then we can comment on it. What happened, Limits? Did you get short-circuited? Limits has gone nuts.
No, there's like 12 Tomlin clips. So I have to find it.
He's got to be more streamlined than this. What is this? 19 Callis would have had that in two seconds. Are we there?
Here it is.
It could happen from either party and has, certainly.
Certainly.
Yeah, from either party. There, huh? Didn't sound quite convincing there, did it?
No, he's saying that the call for Justin Fields could come from... Certainly he has veto power.
Yeah.
Like that play right there, you got to say, if we're going to throw the ball, I want the guy that I went Lone Ranger to put in the lineup.
Or it could be the other way around, Joe. He could say, I want Justin in there.
Sure. Either way, I'm giving him the blame on that one.
Well, he says he takes all the blame. The buck stops with him, so when in doubt, blame it on the head coach, right? He tells us to do that, right?
Certainly for that particular call,
yeah,
yes.
I don't know whose choice it is, and they'll never tell you. I mean, like I said, I think it's mostly Arthur Smith's choice, but I bet you Tomlin more than interjects from time to time.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 47, cloudy skies, 50% chance of rain into tomorrow on Thanksgiving. Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. So, red zone issues. The only teams worse than the Steelers in the red zone are the Giants and the Cowboys. The Patriots are better than them. They're significantly worse than they were under Matt Canada, for God's sakes. I'm getting a lot of suggestions here over text and Twitter. One issue that's coming up, and I realize it's not the most important one, Mark, but it's an interesting one. It seems like people either want more or less of Connor Hayward. Where do you stand on that issue? More or less?
Man, I don't really. First of all, I think Connor Hayward is talented. He provides something that the rest of the tight ends don't, but he hasn't really been integrated into the offense as much as you would think, especially after his rookie year. I don't think it's, honestly, I think it doesn't really matter. It's Connor Hayward.
Well, it does. It does if he's on the field. He's either taking up a spot for somebody who could help, or he needs to help more.
Think about it, though. He obviously comes in the tight end situation. There's probably going to be three tight ends on the field at that time.
Yeah.
Don't you want a guy who has athletic ability like Hayward has shown over the past to be in there in that situation? So I wouldn't say more or less. I would say that he deserves to be in there from time to time. I'm not sitting there counting his red zone snaps, but he's very capable of making plays down there.
Are you bullish on fades to Cordell Patterson or reverses in the red zone to Artie Smith really loves him some Cordero Patterson, does he not?
Well, Cordero, I don't think is 100% healthy.
Then that's don't use
issue
him.
Number one, right?
Yeah.
I think that's number one. Second of all, nobody's forcing Russell Wilson to throw that ball either. I mean,
why is a fade to Cordero even an option?
Well, I guess he's big. I mean, the guy is big. The guy is strong. They thought they could just overpower him. But you know how that is with 50-50 balls, man. It's more or less than 50-50 balls right there. But I probably would not have had Cordell Patterson, but they were successful a couple times in practice, and that's probably what they went to. But when you're in a two-point conversion like that, I would think that that's way down the list there, man. Unless you have a guy like George Pickens, then okay. But I think if he had to do it all over again, they wouldn't. But I don't even know if anybody else is out in the route. I wouldn't have probably thrown it to him. But he had the matchup, and you have to give a guy a shot to make the play. He is, like I said, talented, but I just don't think he's 100% right now, and that should have been factored in.
Yeah, it should be. Don't also run him a review. He got two key plays in the game were to Cordero Patterson in the state.
He doesn't look healthy. I mean, does he?
No.
I mean, compared to what he looked like in preseason in the first couple of weeks, you have to understand he was nursing injuries all throughout the offseason, too, that he didn't even show up until minicamp because he was dealing with some stuff. So he's been banged up a little bit throughout the entire season. So this is just not a one-time thing. Same with Najee. Najee is banged up too. I think his ankle is a little bit worse than you might think, but he's just fighting through it.
that's why you probably seen some of the numbers go down from him over the past 3 weeks as well.
Well, okay, so they're going into a big game with the Bengals. If that's still the case, that Najee is not nearly 100% and is hurting them, and that Patterson's not nearly 100% and is hurting them, then go to other options. I mean, come on.
They did. Well, they did with Warren. He had the most carries of his season, so I think that's a possibility. I think you're just going to see them go more towards the 50-50 route with Warren and Harris moving forward here compared to earlier in the season when both of them were healthy. That just makes sense.
Limits wants to see a whole lot more of Ben Skowronek. Are we going to see that?
Yeah, right.
Ben Skowronek is an interesting guy, man. He's a play tight end. He's a decent receiver. I mean, he's a guy you need as a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none type of guy.
Then use him in the red zone.
I don't think they're quite ready to do that yet.
What, in your opinion, is the number one problem in their red zone failures? Offensive line play? Play calling? What is it?
I don't think it's calling. I think it's offensive line / running game. It's half and half right there. They're not creating the holes on first down to be able to get positive yards. I mean, that's okay. I think now you have to adjust and let Russell be the guy that throws the ball. If you're going to have to throw the ball on first, second, and third down, this veteran quarterback's shown he's pretty doggone good in the red zone over his career, you know, other than maybe this year a little bit. So I would say the offensive line, number one, followed quickly by the running backs. So they're going to run the ball in the red zone. They want to run the ball in the red zone. They might be just getting a little bit too happy with running it, and they're becoming predictable. So I would throw the ball more, let Russell win it for you or score for you.
Cole, may I engage the big boy in a game of free association?
Yes.
Here we go. You ready, Kabali? How many over under Justin Fields snaps in this game? 3.5.
I'm going to say slightly over just because they used him so much.
No. Wait, come on. Well, you know the game. Let's go here. Let's move.
Okay, slightly over.
Slightly over. It's a 3rd and 4 late in the game. They need a pass completion down the field. They're going to go with Fields or Wilson?
They're going to bring Kyle Allen in.
Would you? Kyle Allen to Skowronek.
Would with you, Connor Hayward blocking, right?
Yeah. Would you be in favor of no Justin Fields in this game?
No, I think Justin Fields is a weapon. He has his own goal line.
Would you put him in at receiver even as a decoy, as Ben said he would?
No, they've never practiced that once, so I don't think they would ever do that.
Okay. A little more of Mount Washington in the red zone for you, yes or no?
After that pick, I don't know. But he is a monster, so he would be option number two for me, probably. Pickens won him, too.
Number one reason T.J. Watt's conventional numbers are a little bit down.
Well, probably because of that Atlanta game. Did so well in the Atlanta game week 1, and the Steelers came out. I know I'm going over the time limit here of saying he wrecked the game. They're saying we're not allowing this guy to wreck the game regardless. It means 2-3, chipping, whatever. So I think it's just a lot more attention towards him.
More attention than he's received as a player of the year candidate every year in the league. Suddenly he's getting more attention.
Yeah, probably because of some of the injuries and they haven't been quite healthy on the other side. But they're not going to move him around. So if they move him around once or twice a game, you'll be lucky. So probably should just forget about that. I don't like the wide 9 rush on third downs. Quarterbacks get rid of the ball so quick. I don't know why he's 18 yards outside the tight end at the point. So, I'm not really worried about him, but whatever.
Nobody asked if you were worried about him. This is unbelievable, isn't it? We're trying to get a game of free association going
here. You're giving me questions that
it's an easy question. They are one-word answers. More attention.
They're
reason
questions.
DJ Watt is numbers are down. More attention from offenses. Next question. That's the way the game is designed, and you're sabotaging it.
This is a very poor question.
All right, pick a year for Minka's next turnover. 2024, which we're in, 2025 or 2029?
How about week 13?
What year is that? Is that this week?
Yes.
All right.
I think it's this week.
Who's going to win this game?
I don't like it either way. I think the Steelers squeak it out. It's going to be one of those ugly ones. Oh, too many words.
Way too many. Thank you, big boy.
All right.
Bye.
Joe, thanks for berating me on the air.
Bye, Mark.
Aren't you used to this by now? You know the questions.
He hung up.
Call him back. Now I feel bad. Berating him on the air.
Yeah, how dare he? He was so upset he hung up on you.
Right. He couldn't follow the rules of the game. Plus, his answers were terrible. Other than that, it was a great segment.
The game sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It's my favorite game.
Cole, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.